As you're opening up your Bibles, had one more thing that I want to talk to you about an upcoming event. We talked about the election, talked about Veterans Day, we talked about Thanksgiving meals, we talked about the persecuted church. And along with that Election Day announcement, I want you to know they have an initiative. It's actually going to be a constitutional amendment. Amendment number 3 is going to be on the ballot. You may not be aware of what that's about, or you may be, but it's about legalizing recreational marijuana in the state of Missouri. And I personally am going to vote no on that. I would encourage you to do the same. I do not think that is going to bring about anything good in our state. If you look at other states where it's happened, especially the state of Colorado, we've had a little bit of a time to get a snapshot from that. Traffic deaths that accompany people who are under the influence of marijuana have gone up 137% since that law was brought into effect. And some might say, well, it's already here anyways. What are we worried about? Well, I'm not worried about it, per se. I am concerned about the effect that it's going to have on our families. And so there is some of it already here, and it doesn't bring about good things into people's lives now. So bringing more of it is just going to make it that much worse. And so it's a gateway drug. It's also a mind-altering drug. And so I just want to encourage you to think about that whenever you go. And just ask, what would God's word say about this? And it says that we should be sober-minded. We should be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so I would ask you to consider that whenever you go to the voting booth. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 today. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And last week we talked about how Jesus has ascended on high. He has led captivity captive. We're all captive to sin, and then we give ourselves to him, and then we begin to follow him, and we're set free from the sin to be a servant of God, and then he adopts us as sons and daughters. Isn't that amazing how he does that? What other master do you know of on planet Earth that takes a servant, a slave, and says, I want to adopt you. I want to give you my inheritance. That's our God. That's who we serve. Isn't that amazing? And so that's what he's called us, is to be his children. And he ascended on high so that he could fill all things. And he wants to fill all things by giving gifts to men. And that the gifts that we're going to be talking about is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen? God fills his believers with the Holy Spirit so that we can exercise the gifts that he gives us. We're going to talk about that just a little bit more today, about what these gifts look like. And in so doing, we're going to see what his will is about giving those gifts to us. He actually wants his children to grow up. That's all part of it. How many of you guys have helped to parent children in the past in any way, shape, or form, you know? I mean, even through, you know, teaching them maybe at school, coaching them at baseball, but especially as a parent or a grandparent, you got these kids, they come into the world. Do they come into the world all fully developed? Obviously not. So we've got a little infant right over here in Janella's arms. Everybody take one good look there, and we can all say, aw, together, amen? Isn't that beautiful? It's just amazing. Janella, what did she come out of the womb knowing how to do? That's about it. Cry to get her way. Get what she needs, right? She knows she needs something to eat, but even that, you kind of got to coach them a little bit on how to get it all figured out. They know how to basically go about it. You know, there's an instinct that's given to them. But I'm just going to tell you about everything else, we've got to train them. Amen? That's all part of the purpose of, you know, having children, bringing them into the world, and then we call it raising the children, but it really means training the children. You know, they come out really needing to be trained in all ways. Now, let me ask you something. At 16, do we hope that our child still knows the same amount of things to do as Janella's smallest child here? We're all sitting around saying, boy, I hope they don't learn anything, and I hope they never grow up, right? Isn't that what we're thinking? Come on now. Especially the dads in the room. You know, I can still remember whenever John was born, and I was thinking, that's scary. He is helpless, and I'm like a gorilla holding him. You know what I'm saying?
And it was like, it was really scary to me. And I was sitting here thinking, when that boy's, you know, when maybe when he gets out of diapers, we'll talk about doing stuff together, okay? Do I get an amen from any of the dads here? Okay. And then I'm thinking, you know, the babies are for the moms. And then after they grow up a little bit, then the dads kind of get to get in the picture. Well, I've grown up a little bit since then. I'm a little more involved with the infants now. And John's probably very thankful that I didn't do all of the tasks on him whenever he was a little bitty, because his mother was much more attuned to his needs than what I was. But ultimately, the whole time that I was training John up, our second son Nathan and all of our other children were still in the process, I was imagining the days for them to be fully grown, able to be productive, able to actually help others, able to be, you know, like a productive part of society and to be able to bring blessing to their family in the future. Amen? Those were kind of some of the things that were in our minds. And so, you know, a story from my own childhood, I can remember whenever I was 8 years old, my dad gave me the privilege of being able to drive the tractor from the house to the barn. I had a lot of the tools. I was a pretty observant kid, so I knew how to turn the key on. It was an old Ford 8N. Have you guys ever driven an 8N, any of you? The old, real cool-looking tractors. All right, well, they got the little button you push, you know, to get it going, to start it. So you turn on the key, you start it, you pull open the gas a little bit, you get it revved up. Well, that was my favorite part, revving it up. And so he thought that because I knew some of the stuff that I should be able to hop on that tractor and take it on out to the shed. Well, the only problem with that type of tractor is first gear is your lowest gear, and that's the gear he told me to put it in. Fourth gear is right beside it. That's the highest gear. So I got on there, and I fired it up, and only having half of what I really needed to know, and didn't really have all the experience, I revved that baby wide open. I slammed her into gear thinking it was first, and it turned out to be fourth, and off I went. And let's just say I didn't make it to the shed where I was planning on. It was probably a good thing because I probably would have driven through it. I wound up just burying that thing into a stump and almost throwing me off of the tractor. It was really a bad event. And my dad didn't stand there that day and say, boy, I hope he never grows up. He stood there that day and went, my goodness, sometimes when you turn them loose, they make a mess. But you know, one of these days he'll grow up. You know, I learned some valuable lessons that day, and from that day on, I was able to drive that tractor. In fact, I learned some important things about it. I learned to make sure you're in first gear, for one thing, to not throttle it all the way up to the highest speed. That was another thing I learned. I also learned that if you're not sure, ask questions. I learned a lot of stuff there that was very valuable for me. Thank God I survived that little mistake. You know what? Growing up in Christ is a lot like this. Person gets saved. They're like, oh yeah, this is awesome. They go out and they start trying to exercise this new spiritual gift, and sometimes we make a mess at first. I got one, yeah. How about the rest of you guys? Have you ever made a mess? Okay. What I want you to know is God's not just finished with us when we make the first mess. He's like, okay, one of these days you'll grow up. It's okay. We'll keep working on this. We need to continue forward with him, but his purpose in the end is that we'll be able to exercise our spiritual gifts, and there will be a great harvest as the body of Christ does it together. That's his purpose. So regardless of where you are in your maturing as a child of God, God wants us to continue to grow up, amen? And there's never going to come a time that we don't need him in this process. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16 this morning. If you'd like to stand, I would invite you to. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness
of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Dear Father, we see here that your plan is to edify the church. You want us to grow and be built up spiritually in the Lord. You want us to become more like Christ. And it's a process. Thank you, Lord, that you are head over that process, and you want that process to be happening through your body, the church. And so, Lord, help us just to stay engaged in this process. There's a lot that can be said about these different spiritual gifts. We can take time in the future to look over the definitions of these different gifts, because everybody's got at least one. But for today, I really want us to look at what is the purpose of having and exercising the gifts. It helps for me to know what the purpose is before I even get started, and then I can see the importance of it all. So help us to be edified here today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as you have a seat, we're going to try to unpack this a little bit. God has a plan for all his children, all his children. I want you to understand he wants all of his children to be engaged in this plan. And he gave some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And his purpose in all of this is that he might prepare the whole church for ministry. But from that, all of his children, I want to look at some more of the different categories of spiritual gifts. And we'll see those in Romans chapter 12. And so we'll take a look at that. For as many as members of one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. So according to the grace which has been given to you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it means that God has given you at least one spiritual gift. Can I get an amen to that? I would actually go out on a limb and say most of you have experienced more than one spiritual gift in your life. And that's a good thing. But I want you to know you have at least one. And why did he give you one is so that you can exercise that gift. He wants us to use those gifts. And so it's very important that we listen. And so he goes on to say, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, I want you to understand, we're not going to get in full definition of every one of these gifts, but that one prophecy, I want us to understand, it means speaking the word of God, relaying the word of God, relaying God's words, okay? And so in the Old Testament, many times it was predicting the future, okay? Because God's word would come through his prophet, and he wanted the prophet to give it to his people. And so he would relay the word of God. And if you read in the word in the books of the prophets, you'll see, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. The prophet was relaying what God had said. And when we read those words today, we are still being prophesied to by that prophet. Amen? Thus saith the Lord. The Lord doesn't change his mind. The Lord doesn't change the way that he meant that in the first place. And many times it was predicting the future. You do realize that certain things that the prophets spoke of in the Old Testament still are yet to happen today. You know, Revelation is not the only place that it talks about the last days, the millennial reign, and the fulfillment of the New Jerusalem coming down. If we look back into the Old Testament prophets, those who came even before Jesus Christ, who had prophesied about the Babylonian exile, who had prophesied about the coming of Christ, and prophesied about all of that, they too spoke of those end days, and we are looking forward to them. They are just as, we're even closer today than what they were. And what we need to understand is God is still speaking to us through his word today. And a true prophet who speaks anything of the word of God is going to line up with the words of Scripture. Amen? Because that is God's word being spoken to us. Now we have even a more fulfilled Scripture to speak from in the New Testament. But whenever we hear the word prophet, we want to be careful that we're not following people that are saying unbiblical things and then trying to insist that that's what our future looks like. We want to make sure everything is lining up with the Word of God, because we have a complete Old and New Testament today that we hold in our hands, and we're able to grow from that. So some have been given the gift to bring that to the people, and they would be the ones with the gift of prophecy. He continues on in verses 7 through 8. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. That means like encouragement. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, guys, I want you to understand, even if that isn't your main spiritual gift, we're still called to be kind. Amen? We're still called to have cheerfulness. We're still called to give. Even if I don't necessarily have the gift of giving, some people really just have the gift of giving. I mean, man, they see a thing and they're like, yeah, we need to appropriate this money over here. We need to, you know, and I love being around people that have that gift because they help us to be able to go in the right directions, right? Some people, you know, just really having a gift to excel in that area. But you know what? We're all called to give. Amen? In some way, shape, or form. So what it is kind of like the body's all called to give, but we have some who are called to lead in that area. And so let them do that gift and live that gift out well, because it helps the whole church to be able to give well. And we see some others, you know, even like in the first verse from chapter 11 of Ephesians 4, you know, it talked about some were evangelists. Well, you know, we're all called to evangelize, but now there's going to be some who are going to really have a gift of evangelism. One in our modern day that many of you would probably know their name would be Billy Graham. And his son has continued on with that walk of faith. And Franklin Graham leads many meetings. A lot of their children are involved in them. That doesn't mean that we're not called to be evangelists at all. It just means you should evangelize, and some will be given a gift to really excel in those areas. And so it's kind of like that with all these different categories of gifts. So for those who feel a special burden to serve in these different areas, we need to help them excel in those areas by coming alongside of them, serving in those areas with them. But man, if they've got the gift, let's let them go. Let's encourage them to lead in those places. Let's encourage them to go, to really excel. So the question really doesn't come down to, do I have a gift? Rather, it is, what gift do I have? And so in 1 Corinthians, it kind of talks a little bit about this too. And strangely enough, it's chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, just as it is in Romans. But in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it says in verse 4 and following, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Okay, so we're all building back into the same body. We're all going forward together. Amen? For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Experience? Yeah. Sometimes we'll gain more wisdom through experience. So knowledge is knowing. You see the root word there, know? Okay, it's like knowing things. Wisdom is knowing how to put it into practice properly. So they're kind of complementary gifts. And it says some people can know a whole lot, and other people know what to do with it. And so we need to bring them together, because without the two, you can have a whole lot of knowledge and nothing to do, or you can have a whole lot to do and not much knowledge. And that could be dangerous. So we need to help one another as we go forward. Amen? That's why we need this completeness of having this in the body of Christ. He goes on to another, faith by the same Spirit. Again, we're all to have saving faith in Christ. But some just seem to have a special gift of even more faith. Do you ever be around one of them people? It's like, oh man, things look so terrible. This, and went wrong. And they can always step up and encourage you and say, yeah, but have you ever thought about what God's doing? They always turn your eyes to God. And they help us not get downtrodden. They help us not to get discouraged. Don't you love those people? We need more of those people. And so pay attention to those people. We need those people to feel like they can express that gift. It says, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. to another prophecy, to another discerning the spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Praise the Lord, God has given us all those gifts in this body in Cadet. And you might say, well, I haven't seen all these things happen. If we haven't seen manifestations of these different spiritual gifts, it's because some of you guys are holding back. I believe God doesn't put a body out there and create the body and leave certain parts off of it. He wants all the parts to be working together. If you're here today and you have a spiritual gift and you don't have a local church that you've committed to, then you are depriving that local church of that gift. You need to fully commit to using that gift through the local church where God called you to. It's really important that we all be together on this so that we have all the parts working together. We're going to, next week, get in a little bit more to what these other gifts look like, what definitions we can find in them. But what I really want to do is focus on why we're doing it. And that's how we're going to finish up the sermon today. So what is this body working toward? That's the part I really want to get our minds wrapped around today. Well, we go back to Ephesians 4, verse 12. And all of it works together for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is not just a church that's a building. It's not just a church that has a name. It's not just, the church is the body of Christ. This is a body of believers. And I want to say there's not just one minister in this church today. There's not just two ministers in this church today. I see some other ordained people that have been recognized, have a special gifts of ministry in different ways. Every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ is a minister. And we are all to be doing ministry of some sort in our lives at some level, and it needs to start in your homes. And it needs to branch out from there. And we all need to be doing as God has called us to do. Did you notice in that video, didn't it just touch you so much that the one thing didn't get destroyed in that woman's house was her Bible? It was damaged. It was a reminder. But I can tell you what she said is this was a reminder of God's faithfulness. And did it really warm your heart that the two, the husband and wife, read that Bible together? Isn't that a beautiful thing? And even whenever he had gone on to heaven first, he had graduated, she continued to read that Bible. I think there's an important thing we're recognizing there. That's where it all starts and ends. That's where it continues on from as well. He is experiencing something now that she was only reading about, but they're connected still through the reading of the Bible. He is in her presence. She is coming into God's presence as she reads the Word. What a beautiful thing to have as a legacy to pass on. Their children can remember that they taught them the Bible together. Guys, I'm going to tell you, those are the kind of legacies and memories and things that we pass on that will continue to grow fruit in the future. We need to continue, that needs to be a lot of our focus right there, ministering in our own homes through the Word of God, letting it branch out from there and continuing on with the ministry. And one by one, as parts of the family and the body of Christ go on to be with the Lord, the rest of us need to carry it on. Amen? We need to keep it on, keep it up. So what does spiritually mature person, a grown-up, look like? Let's look at verses 13 through 15. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Do we feel a unity of the faith here this morning? I pray that we do, and I pray that we continue on in that unity. Do we really have a knowledge of the Son of God? Some would say, well, that just means getting saved. No, I think we're going to continue to grow in our knowledge of the Son of God as we grow forward, as we get closer to being in his presence. To a perfect man, it says. That doesn't mean that he never makes mistakes. It means one who's complete. A man who's being completed by the Word of God, who's being more complete each and every day, more mature. That's what it's speaking of. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How many of us could say, I have attained the fullness of Christ? I look just like Jesus when people look at me. None of us here. We're all still working on it. Amen? And it needs to be the rest of our life. It's called sanctification, being set apart, being more like Christ, that we should no longer be children. We need to grow up. We don't need to be tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine, every false teaching. Let me just say, that's what it's speaking of, winds of doctrine, false teachings. You know what the best solution to you not getting carried away by a false teaching is? You need to know the real teaching. And if you know what the real teaching looks like, you won't be easily fooled. We need to be grown up. We need to no longer be children being tossed to and fro. We need to be stable in this thing. We don't need to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And guys, here's the thing. We're joined together in this for better or for worse. We're part of the body of Christ, right? And you might say, well, hopefully it's for the better, preacher. That's what I'm saying too. Hopefully it's for the better. United we stand, divided we fall. We need to stand together. Amen? And then it'll be for the better. God intends it for the better. And that's what he says in verse 16 as we conclude. For whom the whole body, you know, the body in Nigeria that we just saw about, the body in the Middle East, the real believers that are in Afghanistan right now, in India, in Southeast Asia, in Africa, in South America, you know, the body of Christ in Canada, all across Missouri, no matter where a believer is, they're part of this body, and he wants us joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. So he especially wants that in the local body. Amen? All of us doing our share, all of us working together. And that causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You know, sometimes I've heard it said that in churches, you know, there's these special cliques or special groups. You know, I don't ever really see that in this church, but what I do see is some of the closest people that are closest to one another are close because they serve together. A lot of times it's the people that are serving. It's the ones that are going and doing things together. And you know what? It makes us closer. I can remember times that we'd have a team go on a mission trip, you know, and come back home. Yeah, we had a special fellowship together. It wasn't because we liked anybody better than another person. It's because we had shared experiences. We had shared memories. We had seen God move in awesome ways together. And you know what I say to that? Let's all be part of it. And then nobody's feeling like they're on the outside. And there's different ways to be engaged. There's different ways to be in the same activity and not even necessarily have to be at the same place every time. Part of it's by praying. Let's gather together and pray. We have time to be in prayer for the whole association of churches tonight. There's going to be a group of them that are going to come together in Potosi Center. Let's pray together. And when you're not able to be at a certain function, like if we do cook these dinners on Thanksgiving and we send them out, be here if you can. If you can't, pray. Pray for those who will receive those things. Pray that we can reach people with the gospel. There's other ways that you can join in by giving. And sometimes by being one that'll go. All of us together in this thing, in this plan, doing it together and praying for one another as we do. The first step is to make sure you're part of the family of God. All you got to do is ask, guys. Jesus said, of all who come to him, he will not cast any away. Come to him today. If you haven't already, come to him today. Say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I believe in you, and I'm turning away from my sin and giving my life to you. Once that's happened, then we need to continue on with him. Next step is baptism. Then from there, serving God with all your heart and partaking of the Lord's Supper as well. And we're going to do that here in a few minutes after we pray and have a song. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Father, just want to thank you that you've called us to be your children. Thank you, Lord, that we're all born into this world because you created us, but there's a special thing about being a child of God. That's one who's been adopted by the King. We have a full inheritance rights of all of your kingdom in the future. But for now, you want us to be working out that salvation with fear and trembling, for it's you that works in us and through us for your good pleasure. Be glorified through my life. Be glorified through the life of this church as we work as one body. And I pray that everybody would do their part. In Jesus' name, amen.